Well, good evening. It's good to see you tonight. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and as you're finding your place there, let me just share a couple of things with you before we go to the Lord in prayer. Be in prayer for Pam Ashford as she has hand surgery tomorrow, that carpal tunnel hand surgery that she's having done tomorrow. So they are in Amarillo tonight or this evening doing the all the pre-check-in stuff that you do. So be in prayer for them, and then be in prayer for the Swifts. They had to take Kelly into the emergency room Monday, and then they transported her to Amarillo. So the Swifts have been going back and forth to Amarillo for Kelly, and Kelly's doing better, but she is still in the hospital, so be in prayer for them. And then Phyllis had to take her dad, Wayne, to the emergency room tonight because he got something in his eyes, and don't know what it was and not sure how he's doing, but be in prayer for Wayne Brooks. Is he 90 or 91, Brother Frank? 91, so just be in prayer for him that he'll heal up quickly on this and not have any complications from that, all right? So that's what I know of, and just be mindful of that as we go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray, and we will get started. Father, we do come to you tonight thanking you for this day. Lord, I want to thank you for the songs that we've sung this evening. I want to thank you, Lord, for your grace that was amazing and that is amazing. God, that you would be willing to save us so that we can sing the song tonight that we are saved, saved, saved. It is a wonderful truth. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to not ever get used to that and to not ever get over it. God, I pray that tonight you'd help us to give attention to your word, that you'd help us to use this in our lives tonight and in the days and weeks to come. God, I pray that you'd help us to be the men and women and young people that you would desire us to be. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I'm going to begin by having you consider something that I know is true. You know this is true. We really don't need to spend much time discussing this. I just want our thoughts to begin moving in a particular direction. So I'm going to begin by saying this, and that is, since the beginning of man, mankind has had an opinion. Would you agree? I mean, from the moment man was created, even in a perfect world, man and woman had an opinion. So if it began at the beginning of time with the creation of mankind, there in the Garden of Eden, even in a perfect world, well, here's what you know. Things have not changed in the last several thousand years. Everyone that you and I come into contact with, they have an opinion. And everyone who comes into contact with us realizes we too have opinions. And it's really kind of interesting that we have opinions on almost everything, don't we? It could be on the issue of politics. It could be on the issues of religion. It could be on the issues of science. It could be on the issues of education. As long as we'd like to sit here this evening and discuss our opinions, we could do it about almost anything. That being said, I want to change our thoughts or the direction of our thoughts just a moment. And I want us to go back, I would suspect, somewhere around 30 years and beyond that, okay? About 30 years and beyond that, I can barely remember 30 years ago. But I do remember this, that there was a limited number of outlets for media and for news. You know this to be true, right? Not trying to be silly whenever I say that. I'm just saying in my lifetime we have seen the change and the information and all that's available to us. But about 30 years ago and beyond that, you had the printed newspaper primarily. You had radio hit and miss with news broadcasts scattered in them. And then you had your evening news that most people would watch. So you had your morning newspaper that you could read, maybe the evening news that you could watch before you went to bed or maybe right after you got home from work. And you had the occasional news updates there in your radio or on your radio in your car, office, home, whatever it may have been. That being said, we know that in the last few years, the technology has made it such, and the industry has made it such that we seem to be on a never-ending, constant news cycle. You understand this, don't you? With CNN, with Fox, and with other channels, MSNBC. It is a never-ending news cycle that we are a part of. So if you want to watch the news right now, you can turn on the news and watch the news. If you want to turn on the news in a couple of hours, there will be some station broadcasting the news. On and on it goes. All you have to do is get on your phone if you want to read the news and just begin reading it. And so there is so much information out there available to us. It is amazing sometimes how fast it comes at us. Now, something else that you and I cannot deny tonight is this, is that with all the different media outlets, many of the mainstream media outlets have an agenda that they are trying to promote and an agenda they are trying to push, whether it be liberal or conservative. Would you agree with this? I mean, you don't have to watch CNN very long to know. I think they've got kind of a liberal slant to their reporting. You don't have to watch Fox News very long to say, you know what, I think they've got a little bit of a conservative agenda and a conservative slant to what they are reporting and to what they are saying and things of that nature. And as you dial through your radio or you flip through the dial on your radio, that's not how you do it anymore, but you understand what I'm saying. As you hit the scan button and it begins to go through the radio stations, you know that you can listen to this news station and you're going to get more liberal thoughts and more liberal agendas. And over here, you're going to get more conservative thoughts, more conservative agendas. And what are these outlets wanting to do? They are wanting to influence our thinking. They are wanting to influence our thoughts, whether it be on the subject of politics, whether it be on the subject of religion, whether it be on the subject of science, whatever it may be, the outlets have this desire to sway our thoughts and our opinions. Now, I cannot prove what I'm about to say, so don't hold me to this. But it seems to me that most people gravitate to the news outlets that most generally agree with the positions they already have established in their heart and minds. Meaning the liberal people, whoever they would be, are going to generally migrate to the liberal news outlets, and the conservatives are going to generally move toward the conservative news outlets. And we as people have a tendency, again, generally speaking, to go where we are hearing what we are comfortable with and what we like. That being said, here's what happens every once in a while. A news story gets published, or a news story gets run. A news story begins to get traction on a particular station or a particular outlet, a particular website, a particular blog, whatever it may be, a particular story begins to get some traction. And here is something that I have done, I'm ashamed to say, on many occasions, and I know others have done it because I have been witness to it. But here is what happens. Somebody says something like this. Did you hear about old whatever it may be? No, huh? I didn't hear about it. Oh, yeah. Fox News has reported this, 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 or this. Did you hear what Sean Hannity said the other day on the radio? No, I must have missed it. What did they say? Well, Sean Hannity said this. Oh, okay. Glenn Beck said it, Rush Limbaugh said it, whomever it may be, they said it, and the liberals would say, well, you know, this person said it, or this person said it, or this person said it. Again, whomever it may be. And you know what we began doing? We began stating what we have heard as though it were the gospel truth and the gospel facts. Because our news media outlet said it. Question. How much research did I do personally on the subject? I didn't do any research. How much investigation did I do in this particular subject that I am now spouting off and saying this is what's happening and this is what's going on? I didn't do anything of that nature by way of investigation. I just took it at face value because that's what the person said who I like and already agree with. So based upon the fact that I like this person and I already agree with most of their politics or most of their politicians or most of their positions, because I already like them and I already agree with them, surely, just surely, they wouldn't lead me astray. And so I began quoting them as though, how could this be wrong? And the other side does it as well. We've all been guilty of such a thing, have we not? And you know what happens many, many times when we do that? Without realizing it, we flaunt our ignorance. Because we really have no idea what we're talking about. If somebody pressed us past the talking points, we'd be like, I don't know. I just read the little ticker tape going across the bottom of the screen. That's what I'm going by. And somebody's looking at you going, you've got no idea, do you? Well, I didn't get to hear the whole story. You know, I was getting out of the car right as they were finishing up their report, and I didn't get to hear. Okay, you know what you've just done? You've just flaunted your ignorance that you really have no idea what you're talking about. You just took something and ran with it. Now, again, I've been guilty of that more times than I care to admit, and so it's something that I have to work on, and whether others like to admit it or not, it's something they've done and they need to work on. Now somebody says, why are we talking about that? Well, tonight we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I did not intend for this to become a mini-series, but it's what it has become. So in chapter 5, verse number 19, Paul said to the Thessalonian believers, quench not the Spirit. When the Spirit of God strives to work, when the Spirit of God seeks to work in your life, do not quench it. Do not extinguish it. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your life and make the necessary adjustments. Last week in verse number 20, Paul said this to the Thessalonian believers. He said, despise not prophesying. Do not esteem lightly the proclamation and the teaching of the Word of God. Do not have a flippant, dismissive attitude or spirit concerning the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. You cannot do that and be the Christian you're supposed to be. We should highly esteem the preaching of God's Word. That being said, in verse number 21, the thoughts of Paul continue, and notice what he says. He says this to the believers, prove all things. Prove all things. What does it mean when Paul uses the word to prove something? It means this, to test something or to try something. It means to examine something or to scrutinize something. It means to exercise some discernment in this particular area of consideration. So when Paul says to the believers of Thessalonica to prove all things, what he is saying is this. When you see something, when you hear something, when something is reported to you, whatever it may be, here is what you're supposed to do. You are supposed to test it. You are supposed to try it. You are supposed to examine it. You are supposed to scrutinize it. And you are supposed to use some discernment. What was Paul saying? He was saying this. You don't take everything you hear and everything that's reported to you at face value. You need to prove some things. What things does he say to prove? He said all things. If you had to guess what all things is talking about, I mean, if you just had to stretch your mind really hard, what do you suspect Paul is talking about whenever he says all things? Seems to me he's talking about all things. It's so simple. Sometimes I wonder why you hired me, and then I think, don't say that out loud, because they may say, why did we? And so But just think about this. Prove all things. Test everything. Try everything. Examine everything. Someone says, well, I don't want to be a skeptic. I don't want to be a cynic. Paul said, you need to. So what does it mean to test and to try and to examine all things? It means this. Make sure that what you are hearing, make sure that what is being reported is actually the truth. Now, let's just make some real simple personal application here, okay? Let's talk about it in perspective of where we live in Pampa hometown and Pampa America, all right? Hey, members at Grace Baptist Church, this may not be the nature and this may not be the approach that John Q. Public takes, but when you hear something, make sure you've tested it before you accept it. What do you mean? A few years ago, do you know what began being reported around town? It began being reported there's a Lowe's coming to town. You remember that? Some of you may not remember it, but some people, I don't know where it got started, but it began being reported. There's a Lowe's coming to town. There's a Lowe's coming to town. And I remember having conversations. Oh, it's a good thing. There's a Lowe's coming to town. Oh, that's going to be great. We'll be able to do some of our shopping here rather than going to Amarillo. It's going to draw people in from the surrounding areas. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. There's a Lowe's coming to town. And all these years later, you know what I still can't find here in town? A Lowe's. Now, I'm not saying no one ever talked about it, but what I'm saying is this. It obviously was not factual. It obviously was not reality because it never came to existence. So sometimes we hear things, and what we did is we heard it from someone whom we would say, well, that was a pretty reliable source. We didn't check into it ourselves. What we did is we just kind of got the ticker tape note from them that something was happening here in town, and all of a sudden we run with it, and we start telling people, guess what we're getting here in town? And it's not true. You know what that does? It kind of makes us look silly or ignorant. Sometimes this happens in town. There's a rumor going around that this is shutting down, or this is going out, or this is falling apart, or whatever it may be. Again, I'm not saying that the rumor mill hasn't been started, but what I'm saying is this. Many times, some of the things that are circulated in our area, it's just not true. And when we jump on the bandwagon, guess what it does when it doesn't pan out the way that we said it was going to pan out? It makes us look silly. You understand this? We kind of flaunt our ignorance at that moment, because if someone were to press us, what makes you say that? What is your source for this? We begin saying things like this. Oh, well, I don't know. I just heard so-and-so say that. We need to prove. We need to test. We need to scrutinize. We need to examine what it is we are hearing. When we hear something that's happening at work, before we take it and run with it, we need to know what we're talking about. When we hear something about a person here in town, whether it be a city leader, whether it be whatever it may be, someone just here in the community, before we take it and run with it, you know what we need to do? By way of all things, we need to prove it before we start repeating it. How many times have we heard, and how many times have we ourselves said something like this? Well, I heard that old so-and-so, or I heard somebody say about old so-and-so that this is what's happening, only later to discover that's not at all what was happening to old so-and-so. We're engaging in information that we really have no evidence for whatsoever. So Paul says to the believers of Thessalonica, prove all things. Now, I think by way of principle, we could take that and we could run a multitude of directions. But as Paul penned these words, I don't think he had in mind necessarily the economics of the city or the reputation of certain people, though I think, again, the principle applies. I think when Paul penned these words and he said, prove all things, he had a burden for the believers and their spiritual lives, for them to prove and to test and to examine and to try and to scrutinize everything that would come their way by way of so-called Bible information. Now, why would I say this? Well, think about what it would have been like to be in the first church, the early church. You didn't go to church with your handy-dandy New Testament version, right? You didn't go to church with your Bible and your wife or your husband with their Bible and the kids with their Bible. That's not what you did. You went and you had a few letters maybe that had been circulated through the area, and you had different preachers who were coming, and maybe they were the traveling preachers who would be there for a little bit. And you know, I don't know what all it would have looked like, and I don't know how it all would have played out. But here is what the Apostle Paul was saying to them is this, is that whenever you hear something, rather than just accepting it because that's what you like, or that's what you're comfortable with, or that's the position you already hold, you need to test it and you need to prove it. Essentially, what Paul was saying to them was this, is when you hear things, you need to make sure that what you are hearing is Bible or would be biblical or accurate in nature. See, there was a problem in their day. In their day, they had these things called false prophets and false teachers. And so people could come along, and you know what they would not do? They would not introduce themselves as the false prophet and the false teacher out trying to take advantage of them. They wouldn't come into the church and say, hello, I've got some truth with a little bit of lie included and a little bit of lie mixed in, and I'm going to try to slip this one by. You know what they would do is they would come in, and I'm sure with somewhat of a dynamic personality, somewhat of a magnetic personality, somewhat with a slick presentation, here's what they would do. They would try to teach people things that were not accurate according to the teachings of, say, Christ or the apostles who had gone on before them. And so what Paul was saying to the believers of Thessalonica is this, is whenever you hear something, you need to test it and you need to prove it to be true, to be accurate. Don't just accept it because you like it. Does it make sense? What application could possibly be made to the church today? Well, how many of us know this evening that false teachers still exist? False teachers still exist. And not everything that calls itself a Bible preacher or a Bible teacher or a professor or a scholar or the learned or the educated, not everyone who does such a thing is truly teaching the truth of God's Word. Now, you and I are at a distinct advantage over the Christians of Thessalonica, because we do have the Word of God in our hands. We have the Word of God to guide us along with the aid of the Holy Spirit. And so what we should quickly and readily do is this, is whenever we hear something from some source out there somewhere, whenever we hear something, it's not that we want to be a skeptic. It's not that we want to be a doubter. It's not that we want to be a cynic and just assume that everyone is lying to us. But when we hear things, we need to ask ourselves, not does that line up with my feelings, not does that line up with my emotions, not does that line up with quote-unquote how I was raised, but the question needs to be asked, does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with the Bible? See, at the end of the day, my feelings don't matter and your feelings don't matter. If my feelings don't matter and your feelings don't matter, then guess what? Nobody else's feelings matter. I know that we've heard this before, but I want to say it again. Who cares what a person feels? as it relates to Bible so-called doctrine and so-called teaching. As I was listening to a preacher this week who asked me to listen to a particular sermon, one of the things he emphasized was this. As the question is asked of this particular subject, what we must do is go to the Bible and say, what does the Bible say? If the Bible doesn't say it, then all we are doing is speculating and assuming and drawing conclusions from things that we would like to assume is there, but we have no evidence or proof that it is there. It doesn't matter what I feel, it doesn't matter what you feel, it doesn't matter what I think, and it doesn't matter what you think. Somebody is preaching and they say, well, I think, and they begin to preach as though that is authoritative. We really do need to stop and we need to pause right there and say, it doesn't matter what you think. Now, if a person says, and I try to be careful to do this on a regular basis whenever I do this, but if a person says, now listen, this is just my opinion, but you don't have to agree with this, you don't have to buy into it, but this is just my opinion, I can handle that. But when somebody starts preaching their thinking as what is the absolute truth, you and I need to say, uh-uh, that's not what the Bible says. We are supposed to prove all things. For what purpose? For the purpose of truth. The Word of God is the only absolute truth that we have. So what I want and what you should want, what all of God's people should want, is the clear truth of God's Word. I want to know not what the man says, not what the lady says, not what the church says, not what the denomination says, not what this person says or not what that person says. I want to know what God's Word says because God's Word is the only truth that we hold in our hands that is 100% reliable, 100% accurate. Why do we compare everything we hear to the Word of God? Because we want truth and because we understand this. If we begin to get a little bit of error in our lives, here is what it can do. It can bring about major devastation into our lives. I didn't receive much of a response. That's fine, but I'm going to say it again. When we begin to receive a little bit of error as though it is truth, it can bring about great destruction and it can bring about great harm and damage into our lives. All you've got to do is listen and all you've got to do is watch and all you have to do is observe. People who have taken the Word of God and then some slick teacher, some slick preacher has began teaching things as Bible, but it is not Bible. And they began teaching and preaching that this is the way and this is what the Scripture says when in fact that's not what the Scripture says. But they began to apply it to their lives and they began to accept it as though it is Bible truth. And I'm telling you and I promise you from the examples I have seen, people who have ruined their lives because they thought they were following the teachings of God's Word. But one of the problems was this. While they thought they were observing the teachings of God's Word, they never realized it was a lie. They never realized it was false because they never took the time to study it out themselves and to know what the Bible says. And so here's what happens sometimes in the ranks of Christianity under this broad umbrella of Christianity. You hear people say things. And somebody who knows the Bible scratches their head and says, where does the Bible say that? Where exactly does the Bible say that? I don't know. That's why I'm asking you to show me. Where does the Bible say that? I'm not trying to be obstinate. I'm not trying to be obnoxious. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just saying, if you're going to spout that off, where does the Bible say it? I don't really know. You know what the person's just done? They've just flaunted their ignorance. Because what they're doing is taking the talking point of someone else and they're running with it because that's what they liked and that's what they're comfortable with and that's what they generally migrate to. And so because that's what they heard and it felt good to them without checking into it whatsoever, they ran with it and they are running with a doctrine that is not biblical. Prove all things. Let me take it a step further. Though this may not be the most exciting thoughts right now, I want to take it a step further. We need to prove all things, even amongst the well-intentioned leaders among us. Because any of us can get it wrong and get messed up. Brother Kyle, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Whenever I preach, you need not sit there mindlessly and just take it. Just because I'm the one preaching doesn't mean you need to take everything at face value. Just say amen and assume I've told you the gospel truth. Now, am I trying to tell you the gospel truth? Am I trying to tell you what the Word of God says? That is exactly what I am doing. But I am saying this. You cannot sit here and be dependent upon me in your spiritual growth and your spiritual direction and your spiritual decisions. You must be a student of the Word of God. It is not enough for you to say, Brother Kyle said. It's not enough. So if you hear something and all of a sudden little red flags go up, you don't just naturally assume, oh, well, Brother Kyle told us the truth and things of that nature. You don't just naturally assume that I told you the truth. And if I say something and the little red flags go up and you don't agree, it doesn't mean that you just automatically assume that I'm wrong and you're right. If the little flag goes up, you know what you need to be in desperate need of? You need to be in desperate need of a time of study so that you can know what does the Word of God say and let the Word of God formulate your thoughts, your opinions, and your beliefs and your convictions so that should anyone ever press you, you can say, this is why I believe what I believe. I love the Baptist. I do. I love the Baptist, and I love being independent Baptist. But let me tell you something. The independent Baptists have come up with some of the strangest ideas over the years that if we are honest, it would make you scratch your head and say, where did that come from? How did we preach that? How did we preach that with such conviction and such passion? And how did so many people fall for it? You know how that happened? Because men are men, even amongst the ranks of independent Baptists. And if we're not careful, we can interject our own thoughts and our own ideas and what we've heard from someone we admire and someone we respect. And we can start assuming that that is Bible doctrine and Bible truth. And we can begin preaching it with passion and conviction and zeal and enthusiasm. And somebody in the pulpit go, well, amen, that must be so. I'm telling you, I've been wrapped up in the exact same flawed thinking in my years. Just this past week while going to the meeting over in Oklahoma City. I mean, not anything doctrinally wrong that happened or doctrinally wrong that took place, but some things were happening in the midst of that meeting and it got emotional, it got exciting. And I mean, it was one of those things where you could tell the emotions were being stirred. And as I sat there, I thought, now hold on. Kyle, don't get sucked into this. Don't get wrapped up into this. Again, not doctrinal error, not bad theology. But just some things were in my mind and in my heart and in my emotions. Man, I was ready to jump on board. Until it was like the Spirit of God said, now hold on. Hold on. Is this really what's best? And is this really the direction you want to take the church? We have to prove all things. Even when we'd rather not do it. When I'd rather just coast and take the talking points of the spiritual gurus in my life and apply those to me and take off running with them. I can't do that. I have to be a student of the Scripture, and you need to be a student of the Scripture. And what I'm about to say, I'm not trying to be rude, I'm not trying to be offensive or hurtful or anything of that nature, but you know what concerns me? It concerns me that in our churches today, we have a lot of folks who think they know what they believe about certain subjects or doctrines or positions. But if pressed on it, they would have no idea why. Why do you believe this? I mean, you go to this church, right? Yes, and you said amen in that message, didn't you? Yes. So why do you believe that? I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm not trying to be obnoxious. I'm just asking you, why do you believe it? You're supposed to be able to give an answer to every man. Why do you believe it? Well, you know, whenever I was going to this church, my preacher said, no, I don't want to know what your preacher said. Well, you know, whenever I got saved, I was going to the... No, I mean, I'm glad you're saved, but I don't care. Because that has nothing to do with what you're saying. You have this position. You have this conviction. You hold to this belief. Show me from the Scripture why this is so. Many people sitting in churches, whether it be Baptist or some other stripe, they really don't know why they believe what they believe. They just assume the good guy up in the pulpit wouldn't lead them astray. Or nowadays, they just assume the lady up there wouldn't lead them astray. And they have no idea. They have no idea why they believe what they say amen to and why they attend the church they do. It's kind of like the person who watches Fox News or CNN. That's just where they're comfortable at. It's just kind of my style. That's just kind of my speed. Let me ask you something. What kind of student of the Word are you? I'm not asking, do you read the Bible? Because there's a vast difference between reading the Bible and being a student of the Word of God. Somebody says, well, Brother Kyle, it's easy for you to say you're the preacher and you get to study all the time and you're paid to study. I understand. I'm at a great advantage. But the Apostle Paul was writing to believers in Thessalonica who were lay people like you. And he said, guys, you got to prove all things. You have to be students of the Word. You have to be. What kind of student of the Word are you? I'm not saying you're not. I'm asking, what kind are you? Because we're supposed to be. Now notice what he says in the last part of verse number 21, and we're almost done. He says, hold fast that which is good. Hold fast that which is good. What does that mean? It basically means this. Once you have proven, tested, tried, examined, scrutinized, once you have recognized this is truth, this is an error, this is truth, this is a lie, once you have determined this is truth, that which is good, hold fast to it. What does it mean to hold fast? It means this, don't let go. Do not surrender it. Do not be willing to depart from it. When you have proven and tested and tried and scrutinized and examined, and you know this is what the Bible says, don't you ever let anyone sway you from it. Why is that important? Because you will hear things like this, and it is becoming more and more popular. You will hear more and more people say things like this. Listen, you don't have to be so hard-nosed about that. You don't need to be so rigid about that. You know, we don't need to divide. We need to unite. We don't need to worry about that doctrine. We don't need to worry about that teaching. Can't we just agree to disagree and just come together? No, I can't, because in order for me to be able to hold hands with you, I'm going to have to let down some of what I believe. And Paul said, when you know what is right, when you know what is true, you don't surrender it no matter what. You don't let go of it. I'm telling you, we are living in an ecumenical mindsetted or a mentality in our culture today where let's just all come together, let's put all of our differences aside, let's have a common goal, a common theme, a common direction. And the Apostle Paul would scream, where, oh, where did you come up with that? Where did you come up with this kumbaya spirit of unity mentality? Where did you come up with that? Show me in the scriptures where you came up with that, ministerial alliance. Well, we just feel. No, ministerial alliance. We don't care what you feel. Well, we just think it'd be really good. No, we don't care what you think. What does the Bible say? Is it right? Yes. Then hold on to it and never let it go. Don't ever surrender it. You hold fast to those things, that which is good. Let me just tell you this, okay? And I know you know this, and we're almost done. But when you become a student of the Word of God, if you're not already, when you become a student of the Word of God, you will hear many times things that you say, that's not Bible. They've taken that out of context. That is totally their church's position, but that is not a biblical position that they can be dogmatic on. You'll hear that all the time. And there will be times that you just feel like, I've got to say something. Hey, don't you agree? No, I don't. What? You don't agree? No. Well, how could you not agree? Well, see, the Bible says. Oh, I know, but don't you think? Look, I'm not trying to be rude. It's just, I can't change what the Bible says. And I'm telling you, if you become a student of the Word of God, if you're not already, the red flags will begin to pop up, and there will be more and more times that you feel like, oh, I probably ought to say something. I probably need to say something. And when you do, guess what? People will look at you like you are from some outer planet. What is your problem, man? What is your problem, lady? It's people like you that are keeping the cause of Christ from advancing like we should. If you'd just get on board, things would really happen around here. It's not what the Bible teaches. Are we students? Are we students of God's Word? It's an important question. Let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you this evening, I do pray that you'd help us to just take to heart the thought that has been put before us in this statement of proving all things. God, whether it be from the social standpoint, whether it be from what's happening in our own society and people that we know and things that we hear, and whether or not we repeat those or keep them to ourselves, but God, most importantly, if it be the matter of spiritual issues, God, would you help us to be men and women who are students? that we would be men and women that would be quick to say, now hold on, what does the Bible say? God, would you help us to follow your word and not the teachings or the directions or the leadings of man? I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.